At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening and watching on YouTube if you're doing that. We have a good show today. Matthew Berry, fantasy football guru, who just made the jump from ESPN to NBC Sports, comes on and talks about his decision to make that change and what the world of fantasy football, covering fantasy football, is like, and what he's going to be doing at NBC, and some fantasy tips for fantasy players. And we talk a lot about gambling and the influence of gambling these days on fantasy and on the NFL. Following Matthew, Salicata is back for Train of Thoughts, where we read some Apple reviews and talk about what it's like when you meet a hero and then even get a follow from that hero on Twitter. I think you guys will like that conversation. So Matthew Berry, followed by Train of Thoughts, right here on the SI Media Podcast. Before we get to it, just a quick reminder, if you missed any recent episodes, last week, Roman Reigns, WWE superstar, and Andy Staples on college football were on the podcast. 2 weeks ago, Tim Burke, who you know as Bubba Prog on Twitter, was on to talk about the excellent Manti Te'o doc on Netflix. Linda Cohn and former WWE head writer Brian Gewirtz, 3 weeks ago. Check those out in the archives if you missed them, and subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. They will review on Apple. We will read it down the road. And that's it. Let's get to it. Matthew Berry, followed by Train of Thoughts, right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, man who has made a big media shift at a time when his content is in high demand as the fantasy football season gets ready. He is Matthew Berry, the longtime fantasy football guru, all sports. Matthew, how's it going?
It's going great, Jimmy. How are you, my friend?
Well, thank you for asking. Busy time of year for you as we all get ready for the football season, pray for the football season, yearn for the football season. We all need the football. Do you still do fantasy baseball? I know that was big for you with your new deal here. You left ESPN. You're at NBC now. We'll get into it. Are you still doing all the sports or just NFL? What are you going to dabble in?
Well, so on a personal level, I didn't play fantasy baseball last year. I just got too busy. But I'm in a fantasy basketball league. I do March Madness brackets and that kind of stuff. I've played it all. Like, if there's a way to keep score, I have played a fantasy version of it. I've been in fantasy NASCAR. I do fantasy hockey. So you name it. And I think one of the exciting things for me is at NBC, I will be doing multiple sports. So I will be doing fantasy and betting analysis for not just the NFL, which would be my primary focus, but some of NBC's tentpole events. So think about the Kentucky Derby. You think about the Indy 500. Obviously they have the Olympics, they have the French Open, they have, they're partners with NASCAR and Premier League and Major League Baseball. And so I'm really excited about that, diving, more into a lot of other sports, but football is and will always be my bread and butter and my true love.
It's everyone's bread and butter. Speaking of bread and butter, let's get into this. I know you've talked about it a little bit here and there, but for my listeners,
sure.
Why did you leave ESPN after, I believe, 15 years?
15 years. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately for me, and, you know, I'll just say this off the top, because ask me whatever you need to ask me or whatever you want to ask me. I'm happy to get into this. And I'm excited to, you know, talk about it to an audience that is interested in sports media. But just I'll say off the top that ESPN did right by me. Nothing bad to say about them. The reason, Jimmy, that you care about me, the reason that anyone's listening to this interview, is thanks to the power of those four letters. You know, please take everything that we're about to talk about here with the idea that, like, I leave ESPN with love in my heart and nothing but good things to say about the company. But in terms of why I decided to leave is that I thought ultimately that for this stage of my career, there were a couple things that were really important to me, in addition to, like, just the obvious stuff, right? So the obvious stuff is, of course, being able to take care of my family and provide for my wife and kids, and also be able to do fantasy and ultimately betting analysis on, you know, we always want to have a large platform and be able to broadcast or write to as many people as possible. So with those caveats, the things that were most important to me were, I wanted to be part of NFL coverage. Like, you know, I mean, like, I think that when you have a fantasy conversation, when you have a betting conversation, you're having an NFL conversation. I don't think they are separate. They were maybe back in the day, but that is a, you know, if you and I were to have a fantasy conversation right now, we're doing the same thing. We're talking ball. We're just, you know, we have a slightly different lens on it, but it's the same thing. You're talking about players. You're talking about matchups. You're talking about the game and what you think will happen or what happened and why it happened. So I think it's an important conversation. And to your point about, like, being everyone's bread and butter, the NFL is the premier sports league in the world. And I believe fantasy is a massive way that fans engage with the NFL. And I wanted to be more closely aligned with NFL coverage. I wanted to be a part of it. So that was reason one. And
interrupt just real quick, I just want to follow up on that, because I know from, I don't know if people listening are thinking this, but what I'm thinking is the ESPN has NFL coverage, and they probably have it better than ever now. The NFL is giving them a good schedule. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. They're getting better games. They're getting more playoff games, Super Bowl down the road. So is it that ESPN never had you on their NFL coverage, or because ESPN has NFL coverage? So I'm just curious.
Correct. I mean, I've done some NFL coverage over the years. You know, when I first started there, I would do a segment on Sunday NFL Countdown. I had from the set of the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, we would do a 45 second hit that would run on Monday Night Countdown that was sponsored. It was a sponsored element. So, you know, that one of the sponsors had paid for there to be a fantasy element. And so they would use me for that. Over the years, I've popped up on NFL Live. I haven't recently in the last couple of years, but I was there 15 years. So I've certainly done some, I've popped in and out of NFL coverage at ESPN. But in terms of where the company sits today, at least at the time that I was still there, the fantasy department and the fantasy coverage of ESPN and the NFL department, the NFL coverage, are two separate entities. The people in charge of those entities are different people. There's not a lot of interaction between the two. Interaction's probably not the right word, but there's not a lot of overlap, I should say. Maybe that's a good way to say. And so, you know, we did our, you know, Sunday NFL Countdown had their own producers and their own cast. And, you know, Fantasy Football Now on ESPN2 Sunday mornings had their, you know, I was part of that show, and we had our own production staff and a lot less promotion. And so so the answer is that, yes, ESPN has a lot of NFL coverage, and, you know, and they do a really good job with it. And they've been real successful with how they've approached it. They didn't dig me, or they just didn't believe fantasy was a part of, it just wasn't going to be, I was never an integrated part of Monday Night Countdown or Sunday NFL Countdown, any of our biggest platforms, even NFL Live. I was never a big part of any of those shows. I never was going to be. And I knew that, you know, and that's no disrespect to ESPN. Like, it's not my job to run that company. The people that run the company have made that decision, and they've done very successfully. You know, they're running a business and it works for them. But for me, it was important. And as it became apparent that there was a chance that I might leave ESPN, me and my agents had conversations, in some cases, multiple conversations with every NFL partner, and that includes ESPN. You know, every broadcast partner of the National Football League, and we expressed that desire. And, you know, we felt, by we, I mean my, me and my agents, we felt pretty confident that if we left ESPN, that there would be an NFL broadcast partner that would want me to be a big part of their NFL coverage, not sort of off to the side, not of like, oh, here's a small clip of them from the show or whatever. And so that was really important to me.
So you said you spoke to all the broadcast partners of the NFL. What was it about NBC that made you decide to go there?
Well, there was a lot, right? I mean, first off, in my opinion, I mean, they have the best. I mean, it's Football Night in America. I mean, they have the best game of the week. And I say with no disrespect to any of the other NFL broadcast partners, I think the NFL actually did a great job with the schedule, sort of doling out all the big games. But Sunday night is the best game of the week and has been for a long, long time. And I think it is once again this year. You know, you look at the schedule and it's just a ridiculous schedule starting next Thursday night, Bills at Rams, that's on NBC. And then Buccaneers Cowboys on the first Sunday night. And yep. Think about like week four, you know, Chiefs at Bucks, Mahomes and Brady. Like, anyway, it's a ridiculous schedule. And so when NBC said to me, we want to put you on Football Night in America, and not as like, not as a token, not as like you'll be from some, you know, from some set of your podcast and you'll pop on with like, here's one sleeper for 30 seconds. Like, you're going to be an integrated part of this cast. You're going to do multiple segments. And, you know, I mean, it's Football Night in America. It's the second highest rated show, not sports show. It's the second highest rated show in all of television, second only to the actual game itself. And so it was sort of like, you know, there's a lot of other reasons at NBC. There was a familiarity and comfort level with the executives. You know, I had multiple meetings with them and just sort of, I mean, they recruited me and it was really, honestly, flattering. And, you know, the cast that they had, people getting to work with, you know, a lot of the people, I'm fans of a lot of the people, it was, and, you know, they've all been incredibly welcoming. And so there was that Sunday night game. On a personal level, it's in Stamford, Connecticut, where I'm going to be based out of. So just, I wouldn't have to move. I wouldn't have to, you know, yank my kids out of school. I live in Connecticut, right, obviously, because of ESPN. So just not having to uproot my family was a big thing. The fact that NBC said to me, like, hey, not only is it going to be Football Night in America, and, you know, we want to use you to help us with Peacock. But like I said, like, you think about the breadth of events that NBC has, as we just talked about, you know, Olympics, Indy 500, Kentucky Derby, NASCAR, MLB, Premier League, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, obviously ESPN has a ton of events, but I'm a football guy at NBC. At ESPN, I was a football guy purely. And so they were like, we want you to be involved in all these huge tentpole events. And we're going to look for other opportunities with some of our entertainment properties. We think there's some potential there. Just all of it. And then the last thing that NBC said to me, and all of that to me is, you know, enough, right? I mean, you know, sort of like, you had me at hello. You had me at Football Night in America. But the last thing, Jimmy, and this is the second reason why I left ESPN and that NBC was into, NBC said, we know you have these businesses that you've started, these small businesses, FantasyLife.com, the Fantasy Life newsletter, the Fantasy Life app, just a lot of things under the brand of Fantasy Life. We know you have these businesses that you care about. And ESPN very graciously offered me a new 3-year extension and, you know, a raise. But part of that offer was that I would have to get rid of all those side businesses that I'd built up over the last couple of years. And my previous contract with ESPN, I had carve outs for all those things.
And I was going to say, I mean, I should know this and I don't, and I'm sure my listeners would be confused. Like, why were you able to do all those businesses and then you wouldn't be able to do all those businesses?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for ESPN. That's not my place. But my perception, if I can, is that my previous deal was a 7-year deal. Wow. And the sports landscape has changed significantly, and something that they were okay with 7 years ago.
Right.
In terms of, you know, 7 years ago, betting wasn't legal. PASPA hadn't been overturned. And so I think when they approved those 7 years ago, they didn't contemplate that those businesses, neither did I. I mean, who knew seven years ago? But sure. They didn't contemplate that at some point those businesses might get into sports betting and might get into paid content. You know, 7 years ago, that was not a focus of ESPN or Disney, where it is now. And so I think they felt like, you know, again, I don't want to speak for ESPN, but right. I think they felt like, my perception is that their opinion of those side businesses changed from 7 years ago as to now.
Gotcha.
And in terms of, you know, competitiveness or what have you. And so they basically said, like, here's a new deal. We love you. We want to keep you around. We'd love to, you know, we, you know, Norby Williamson, who I like very much and, you know, would work for Norby again. Love Norby. Norby, you know, I had a meeting with him. He's like, look, we love you here. We want you to be here as long as you want to be here. But, you know, as the conversation continued, it was new 3-year deal. Here's a raise, but you have to get rid of these side businesses. You have to. And we want you to focus on only ESPN, which I certainly right. understand a corporation having that point of view.
Right.
But for me, in terms of what, you know, what interests me, I've spent a lot of time building these things up. I have, we've raised investment money from investors. I have CEOs of these companies. I have people that work. I mean, we have full-time employees. All these companies have full-time employees. And, right. and I think all of them sort of signed on, invested in the company or came to work because they thought Matthew's going to be able to support these. He's, you know, one of the assets that these companies have is that Matthew can support them. And NBC, back to NBC, NBC has said to me, it says, listen, Chris Collinsworth owns Pro Football Focus.
Right.
Jim Cramer has his investment club, you know, and we're supportive of those businesses, you know, right. Mike Florio owns Pro Football Talk, you know, I mean, like, and so, I mean, just, it's a different corporate structure and the concerns that NBC Universal have, I think, are different than Disney, yeah. not saying they're better, they're worse. They're just different. And that was also really important to me to be able to continue that. And NBC said, not only will we let you continue it, we'll help support it.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me. And I don't want you to comment on this. I'm just going to throw this out there for my listeners as I just sort of evaluate it. It's, you know, there's part of me that thinks, okay, you're the top fantasy guru and have been for a long time. ESPN maybe should bend the rules and to keep you. And then on the other hand, NBC, ESPN is very different from NBC in that ESPN has a billion personalities, talent, whatever word you want to use. So if they open the door for one, they got to open the door for everyone. And then it becomes a dice. So I get the situation there. So tell me, so we'll be seeing you on Football Night in America in the studio every Sunday night as part of that show.
About once a month, I'll travel with the, so it's going to, I'm going to split some time between probably 75% of the time I'll be in studio, about gotcha. 25% of the time I'll be on the road. I know that I will be in LA on the field for the opening night game, wow. Bills at Rams. So I'll be at SoFi. I think I will be at, I'll be at the, you know, the Chiefs Buccaneers game in week 4. Right. I'll be at, I think there's a Cowboys Eagles game in week 6. I think I haven't memorized the schedule yet, but I think I'll be there.
You're a full fledged member of the show, which is what you wanted. That's great.
I'm in the cast photo. Like, I mean, tomorrow, yeah. Jimmy, I am tomorrow. We're doing individual headshots and we're doing the cast photo and I'm in the cast photo. Now, right. I don't know where they're going to line me up. They're probably going right. to line me at the very end, but I'm in the cast photo. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of yeah. my take is it's like, you know, there's going to be Maria Taylor and Tony right. Dungy and Jason Garrett and, you know, and like, I'm in the cast photo. And I think for somebody from a fan, you know, to have a fantasy person who is like, and it's not hidden, like, we're right. not trying to like, you know, oh, yeah. he's an analytics guy, which I am. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's pure on, like, I'm a fantasy guy and this is part of our coverage. I'll just tell you one quick anecdote here, Jimmy, and then ask me whatever you want. But
yeah,
the very first day at NBC, I came in, I came here to Stanford, and the legendary Sam Flood, who's the executive producer of all of NBC Sports. And I got walked into a conference room, and there's probably like 25 of the muckiest muckety mucks at NBC Sports. And they went around, they introduced me, you know, and this is who introduces it. This is who, I mean, you know, Fred Godelli was there, right? You know, the legendary sure. Fred Godelli, who produces Sunday Night Football and is producing the Amazon Thursday night as well. Like, so it's like a little who's who of NBC Sports in this room. to welcome me to the team and for me to ever get to know everyone. And Sam just says, I want to take a moment here to welcome Matthew Berry to NBC Sports. He is going to be a part of our NFL coverage. I just want to be clear here. Fantasy and betting are part of our NFL coverage, and Matthew is the guy.
Right.
And I was just like, I'm blown away by that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just
sure.
Thanks, Sam. You know, so, he's just like, it's not a separate thing. It is a part of how we cover the NFL here at NBC.
Gotcha. All right. I'm going to move on from the ESPN NBC thing. I want to get into the business of fantasy and betting, because I find it interesting. Like I said, you're known as the fantasy guru and have been for a long time, but you've mentioned several times that you're going to be part of the betting coverage.
Sure.
Could you have believed when, you know, you got into this, that this day would come where NFL pregame shows are embracing betting coverage? It's still hard for me to believe.
I'm surprised I'm not. I'm surprised in the sense, like, again, like, you know, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, a fantasy football convention was canceled because it was going to be held in Vegas.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, I mean, like, you remember right. that? Like they.
Yeah.
You know,
Tony Romo.
Tony Romo's fantasy football convention was supposed to be in Vegas, and it got canceled because NFL players were going to appear at a Las Vegas convention center. And they felt still just NFL players being in Vegas was, you know, problematic. And now there's an NFL team in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm surprised in that sense, like from that moment that, you know, within the last, whatever it was, 6 or 7 years, we went from, you can't even appear at a fantasy convention in Vegas to, you know, here's the halftime show presented by DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, BetMGM, pick your, you know, whoever it is, right? Points bet, blah, 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 blah. So on and so forth. So that's shocking to me. On the other hand, like the NFL is smart, right? I mean, the NFL, you know, the NFL is great at a lot of things, one of which is driving revenue. You know, in the NFL, you know, they're sitting here going like, here's how the landscape is. And the tone of the country has changed. I think the point of view on sports betting has changed with the overturning of PASPA and, you know, other sports doing it as well. And I think there was just, I think the NFL, again, I definitely do not want to speak for the NFL, but my view from the cheap seats here is that the NFL looks around and says like, okay, you know, perception of sports betting in America has changed. It is that we've done the studies. We've realized like our fans really care about this. This is a way for them. It's another way for them to engage with our product. And so in a smart, measured way, we should embrace this. And it's also, by the way, a huge revenue opportunity for us. The NFL is great at making money. You know, they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The legalized gambling, it's still not in every state, but a lot of states have adopted. New York, we got it in January, and we're leading the way now. More money is being bet in New York than anywhere else. I'm curious. Fantasy is huge. It's always been huge. It's still huge. So I'm not trying to say fantasy is not huge. Fantasy is huge. And this question is going to be the equivalent of like someone who has $1 billion takes a $10 bill and flushes it down the toilet. But has legalized gambling put any kind of dent in fantasy? Are there people out there saying, well, now gambling's legalized, I'm going to focus my attention on betting, I don't need fantasy football? Or are the numbers still what they were?
The numbers are still what they are, and even more so. I weirdly think it, rising tide floats all boats in this particular case. First off, the appeal of both are different. They have a similar strain, which is that whether you're betting on a game or you're playing fantasy football, both give you a rooting interest in a game that you might otherwise not care about. So they both have that underlying, you know, theme, for lack of a better way to phrase it. However, the social aspect of fantasy football. Hey, Jimmy, me and you and Bob and Sue and Jane and blah blah, we're gonna get all the gang together to the bar, and we're gonna give each other crap all day, and we're gonna draft our players, and we're gonna have beers and pizza, and then throughout the season we're gonna be texting each other with trades, and you know, and we're all gonna get together at somebody's house to watch the games and give each other crap, and we're gonna have a last place punishment, and all that aspect. That all social aspect is very different than give me the bills and the points or whatever it is. Right. It's a different, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'll, right.
I'm laughing because everything you described was why I stopped playing fantasy football. I feel bad saying that, but I'm better. I like to, you know what it was for me? This is for me, just me personally. And listen, fantasy football is, doesn't need me. So I'm not trying to do this to insult you. Yeah. Anyway. But like for me, if I'm watching a Packers Cowboys game and I have the Cowboys +6 and I have Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy team, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take doing that anymore. So, and the thing about fantasy football, I always said too, was I loved the draft. The fantasy football draft was like top 3 day of the year for me with like Thanksgiving and, you know, okay. But then after that, I'd be like, not feeling it. As I got older, I think that was the, and you know this, to play fantasy sports now with the information being at everyone's hands on a minute by minute, second by second, you have to really, one, know your shit and be on top of it in a way. You know, when I was a kid, not even as a kid, you didn't have to be on top of it. But if someone gets, if a kicker gets hurt, the last kicker is picked up within 0.1 seconds. And for me, like I couldn't do that anymore. But you can't slack if you play fantasy sports anymore, which is why people like you thrive, because people are going to you for the information.
1,000%. And so, I mean, it's made my career. But what I would say for you is, look, are there some people that only bet on sports? Yes. Are there some people that only play fantasy football? Yes. But do I think they cannibalize each other? I don't.
Okay.
I can tell you, you know, I was going to say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but what's ESPN going to do? Fire me? But I will tell you that last year, more people played fantasy football. I don't know how they're doing this year. But I will tell you that last year, when legal, you know, there was a lot of states where sports betting, more people played fantasy football on ESPN last year, my last year at the company, than I'd ever played before with the company. Last year was a record-setting year for ESPN fantasy. And anecdotally, I've heard that from a lot of other friends at other companies, at the Yahoos, at the Sleepers, at the CBS, at the NFLs, my fantasy league, all the places where you can play fantasy, it was a record-setting year. And obviously, all the sports books are doing big business as well.
That's interesting. It's interesting to me, like you said, because with the sports books now, you can bet, you can almost do fantasy on the sports books, because that you can bet how many TDs will Tom Brady throw, how many rushing yards will Derrick Henry have. So they've almost brought a big element. I mean, it's not the same. You don't have a whole team. Well, I guess they do have. But they have that on. Go ahead, you go.
Yeah, no, there is absolutely a blurring between the two, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Because listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that like I'm Billy Walters or something like that. That I, you know, I'm not claiming to be a gambling sharp, as it were, a betting sharp. But where I am really good at and I feel really confident in is player props, to your point, right? I mean, because that is fantasy. If I will have a strong opinion on, you know, if the line is Tom Brady 275 passing yards in a particular game, I will have done that research. I will crunch those numbers. I'll have a very strong projection on and thought about whether he's going to go over or under that number because of where I've ranked him that week for fantasy football. And I think most people that play fantasy football will feel the same way, which is like, you know, oh, I think, you know, that guy's going to crush that number. There's no way he hits that number, whatever it is. And so I do think player props especially, and there's a number of fantasy games that are basically player prop type games that are DFS, that are considered daily fantasy sports DFS, where it is various player prop games. But what I would say, Jimmy, just back to you for one second, what you should do is you should form, I'm serious, you should do a best ball league. Have you ever heard of a best ball league? A best ball league was made for you. So here's what a best ball league is. And there's a number of sites that do this, Underdog being one of them. I'm an investor in Underdog, but there's a number of sites that where you can set this up. And what best ball is that you go, you have a draft. So what you would do, Jimmy, you'd say like, hey, I'm going to get all my buddies together. We're going to have a draft. We're going to have a blast. We're going to do everything we do. But then once you're done with the draft, that's all you have to do. You do nothing else. And so what happens is that whether it's on Underdog or my fantasy league or DraftKings and FanDuel both have it as well. Basically what you do there is a sleeper has it, I think, as well. You play the best lineup possible. In essence, what happens is like you've drafted your team and you draft multiple quarterbacks, multiple wide receivers, multiple running backs, tight ends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then on Tuesday morning, after the games have been played, your best possible lineup is set for you retroactively. And that's done for every other team in the league. And it runs the league. So the idea there is
like, are there ads and drops? Are there pickup? Okay.
No. So you literally have to, you draft and that's it. And then it does it for you the rest of the way. And so again, there's certain strategies in terms of wanting more boom or bust type players that can help you win weeks and
durable guys.
Right. And how your roster construction is different in best ball versus a season long draft. So there's various strategies with it. But for you who loves the draft, but doesn't want to deal with it after the draft, best ball league is for you, Jimmy Traina. You
sounds
would love
interesting.
It.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Tell me, with NBC Football Night in America, what are you going to be doing in terms of the gambling stuff? Are you going to do like side and total? Are you doing props? Do you know yet what you're going to be doing?
We're still working that out. I think what I will be doing is I will be giving analysis about certain players or teams that that if you were interested in placing a bet on that game that night, my analysis would inform that decision. So, there's still some rules and, you know, I'm working through all that, but and learning what we can and can't do. But in essence, that's the idea. The idea is that it will be informed analysis that if you are in a state where sports betting is legal and you hear my analysis and Chris Sims as well, I'll be doing it with Chris Sims. We think, you know, you'll be able to make a more informed decision on whether or not you want to do something.
I just read a great book and I can't believe I'm forgetting the name. I forgot the exact title, but it's about the old NFL today with Brent Musburger, Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah.
God, I wish I could remember. I plugged it in my column.
Was it Irv Smith?
The author was Rich Podensky, I think is, but right. I forgot the title, but so it came out in December.
Irv Cross. Irv Cross, right. Irv Smith is the young tight end for the Vikings. Sorry.
It's a great book. I highly recommend it. It's about the old NFL today. And, you know, the stories are in there about how, especially back then, gambling was so taboo, and how Jimmy the Greek would work around it because they would pick the games and he couldn't say, I like this team -3. He would have to say, I like the Cowboys. I think they win by 7. You know, he had a sort of, I feel like it's still like that in a way. They don't want you on the pregame show going this team -3.5. I feel like Goodell still doesn't want that, but you don't have to be as obtuse about it. You can be a little more direct.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to speak for the NFL, and I just got here. So the last thing I want to do is step on any toes here. I will tell you, like, we are I literally haven't had this. Like, we had the Football Night in America when the pregame show with the Hall of Fame game. And so we did fantasy there because it makes sense preseason. Right. And we wanted to promote that, you know, rotoworld.com is coming back and NBC Sports Edge and everything we're doing digitally here at NBC. But so the next appearance I'm making is Bills at Rams. And we're actually tomorrow, we're having a rehearsal where I will learn. I'll be able to answer that question on Friday for you in terms of that. But as it's been explained to me so far is that, yes, I don't believe I will be sitting here saying like, hey, I love, you know, here's the line and I'm hammering the over or whatever. But I think it will say like, this is a game that I think is high scoring and here's why I think it's high scoring. And here's me and Chris will be doing, here's the X's and O's and here's the stats behind why we think this is going to be a very high scoring game or a very low scoring game, or why we think this particular player is going to have a big game or, you know, is going to struggle, et cetera, et cetera. I would say that to your point, it's not only is it that way, but it's, I mean, I think about Chris Berman, you know, Boom, who's been a great friend to me for many years, but you know, Boom, when he would do his Swam stuff, it was always like, first off, it wasn't Cowboys Eagles. It was like, I think Dallas beats Philadelphia 27-21. You know what I mean? Like, it would always, like, he'd just give a score.
Always gave the score.
You had to use the cities, and you gave a score. You didn't say, I like the Cowboys to cover the 3.5. It would be, Cowboys 24, Eagles 20, something like that.
The Swami was great. Let me ask you, since I've got
same with the late great
Cameron Hank Goldberg. Yes, absolutely. Couple of fantasy things. Since I don't play, but I want to serve my audience, I want to give you a couple of things here. First of all, I will say I'm very happy for the fantasy football players out there, because with the 3 preseason games, now you can have your draft. You don't have to have your draft in such a little window. I would think that's a big factor this year, because I know when I did play, I wanted the draft the night before the season started. I didn't want to take any chance with injury. I mean, to do drafts so far in advance and then have to deal with injuries, I always thought was so. With only the 3 preseason games, I mean, people could draft starting from this past Monday all the way up to next Thursday, which I think is a great thing this year, right? Is that a big theme in the fantasy world this year?
Not really a theme. I mean, there's a lot of debate about when you should have your draft. I agree with you, just in general, for general redraft leagues, you know, your fun leagues, the closer to the season you are, the better, right? So you have more information, because injuries do happen in the preseason. Players get released, you know, you have more information in the preseason. The people in the fantasy community, though, the sharps, if you will say, like, you'd rather do a draft earlier, because by this time, by the night before the season, everyone knows. So the idea is like, for example, right now, everyone's, you know, a preseason darling is Damian Pierce, who's the rookie running back for the Houston Texans. Marlon Mack got released, and he's clearly going to be the RB1. But I think for people that were drafting, you know, sharps, like, we're not surprised about Damian Pierce. Like, you know, coming out of the draft, you know, he was somebody identified as like, here's a guy that should have been drafted higher, and he's going to an opportunity in Houston where they're going to get a lot of opportunity here. And, you know, we think this is a team that, you know, they may not be able to run the most efficiently, but they're going to get a decent amount of volume. And so you could get Pierce a lot later in drafts in early July than you can now. And so, certainly, especially if you're playing best ball, if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, I think some people prefer to draft earlier. But I agree with you that if you're in a, you know, your basic redraft league, you're not sitting there doing mock drafts, you know, in early June. You know, if you're not a hardcore nerd like me, then the best is as late as possible. But to your point, fantasy value changes all the time, with every Schefter tweet.
Right. And preseason games too. I mean, 1,000%. It used to be where everyone says the preseason joke, but I know, I mean, when that Texans game was on Amazon Prime and Pierce was running up a storm and Herbstreit were talking him up, I was like, oh my God, the fantasy people are going nuts right now on this.
1,000%. Or I mean, think about last year. Jamar Chase had a couple of bad drops in the preseason. And fantasy managers are like, we got a T. Higgins, you know, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase hasn't played football in a year, bad drops. And then, of course, you know, obviously Jamar Chase had a absolutely monster year. So And it preseason absolutely affects fantasy value. Sometimes I think too much, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So for the man or woman listening to this, who's still has a draft to do, what is your number one tip? Not in terms of player, not, you know, draft Tom Brady, but what is number one strategy tip that you would suggest?
I think, you know, and it's interesting. I'll give a plug here. So we just literally did my, I have a new podcast here with NBC. It's called the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. It's also available on Peacock and on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. So you can watch it on demand or you can get it wherever you get podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, it's available. And we did the Draft Day Manifesto episode literally today. So I take you through for a full hour, entire draft strategy. I think if you listen to that, you'll have all the theory. But if I was going to give you one piece of advice, I would say in terms of running backs, which is always a crucial position in fantasy, that I think you either want to go early on running back or you want to go late and go use a strategy, what is known as zero RB. Because this year there's like what's called a dead RB zone, where it's guys like Josh Jacobs and, David Montgomery that you don't, you know, I mean, if Khalil Herbert's, you know, sits out, then Montgomery might be okay. But guys that just aren't Breece Hall, right, who's I think going to be more of a committee, Damian Harris. I prefer Ramondre Stevenson. Like there's just a bunch of guys that you don't feel great about, and they're being drafted there because, oh, they're a running back. And so I don't love that particular area, and I'd much rather wait a little. I'd either, you know, get a superstar running back first or second round, maybe even two. But if you're not doing that, if you're not getting at least one, then I would wait until after that, you know, fourth to fifth, sixth round running back dead zone, as I say. And then a little bit later, there are guys with more upside that I prefer. Ramondre Stevenson, AJ Dillon, to give an example, Travis Etienne sometimes slips, you know, like that Chase Edmonds, you know, I think has a nice year here. Those kind of guys.
Gotcha. Can you even check your Twitter mentions?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think
every
so.
Once in a while I will. I have them, Jimmy, I have them at this point. I have them so filtered, you know, I have them, you know, in terms of, you know, high quality and, you know, you know, people, anyway, it's just, so I will occasionally check my Twitter mentions, but not like it has to, you know, Twitter does a good job. I have a lot of people muted. I have other people blocked as well. When the season starts, how it usually goes is, this wasn't last year because it was on behind a paywall, and then people would just complain about Love Hate being behind a paywall. But the normal progression is Love Hate comes out on Thursday, and I get nothing but love. I get love and questions Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday till kickoff.
Right.
Love the column. Love the story. Great fact.
Who should I start?
Right. You know, this guy, that guy. That's what it is. As soon as kickoff happens, then they're MFing me. Then they're,
good, you're a piece of shit.
Exactly. I will say this, though, because it's interesting, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what it's like now, just being super honest here, that the day before, you know, and social media wasn't nearly as prevalent then as it is now, but like when I joined, the day after I joined ESPN versus the day before I joined ESPN, like whatever level of analyst I am, whether I'm the greatest analyst ever or the worst analyst or somewhere in between, whatever level that is, it didn't change the day I got to ESPN. But the day I got to ESPN, the feedback I would get, whether it was, you know, on Facebook at that time or, you know, from emails, is like the minute I became ESPN senior fantasy analyst, which was my title, suddenly it was just like, I had to know everything. Hey, right. Asshole, right. You're on TV. How do you not know everything 100% perfectly?
Right.
And so it was super weird that literally, like, when I was just on my own site, you know, people were very happy for me. And then when I got to ESPN, there was just this anger.
That's interesting. That makes sense. I got it.
It'll be interesting to see what happens now at NBC. I will tell you, for all the negativity towards I will say this. I did read my mentions, every single one of them, when I announced I was leaving ESPN, and, you know, we kept it really quiet. I was actually surprised it didn't leak. Things seem to have a way of escaping, especially at ESPN.
Right.
So I was surprised it didn't leak. And so I think it took a lot, and I hadn't really been talked about Peter King mentioned in my column, in his column, but people hadn't really talked about the fact that, I think you mentioned it in your column too, but people hadn't really mentioned that I was potentially going to be that, you know, my, that there was an opportunity for me to potentially leave ESPN, that that might be coming up soon. Right. And so I think it took a lot of people by surprise when I announced my leaving. And you never know, like, are people going to care? Are they going to, you know, are they going to give a shit? And like, what will the reaction be? And, you know, and will it be like good riddance or who knows? And the amount of love and positive feedback and kind words and well wishes was overwhelming. Like, literally couldn't have been better if I wrote them all myself. Like, it was just touched me to this day. Like, it was one of the five best days of my life, in all seriousness. And that particular day. And as I said to my wife, I said, it was very cool. It was cool to be trending on Twitter and not be dead.
Right. I liked it because I like anytime there's something where, you know, you get so jaded in this business and you're in it every day. So like when you do see something like that, where I went, whoa, that's a bombshell. I enjoy it from that standpoint. I mean, we got a lot of it with, you know, with the NFL, with Joe and Troy going to ESPN and stuff like that. But, you know, for a writer or a podcaster to jump ship, you see it all the time. When it happened with you, that was one where I think everyone was like, oh, that's an interesting move.
And then when I announced NBC a few weeks later, and I popped up on Football Night in America, again, people could not have been more kind or supportive or so. It's and by the way, and since you know, you never know, right? You know, like I'm leaving the mothership of ESPN, this massive platform,
right,
where they have millions upon millions of people that play fantasy with them, and we're going to NBC where we don't have a game platform, right? We're purely content. And so you're like, are people going to follow me here? Are, you know, everyone's wishing me well, but will they follow? And so when the podcast debuted at number one, and I haven't checked today, but for the, you know, we've been at number one in sports. We're number two on Spotify, number one on iTunes in terms of podcasts, and, you know, top 15 on both sites in terms of overall, like that was, you know, mind blowing, candidly. I was thrilled that everyone's, you know, come over, and NBC is obviously very happy.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I think people who like you these days who make those big moves, it's because you have a following and those people follow and, you know, enjoy. I would enjoy all the good wishes because they're going to end the week tomorrow at 8:15 when, you know, Stephon Diggs has three catches for 14 yards and, you know, it's your fault.
Exactly.
It's your fault.
I've been hyping Gabe Davis and watch, you know, Gabe Davis will score a touchdown, but it'll be called back due to penalty. And you're right. He punches. 3 for 14. Like, why didn't you have a fifth round pick on Gabe Davis there, you asshole? Right.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Last thing before I let you go is totally off the beaten path. Has nothing to do with anything that we've discussed. Are you still a big Howard Stern fan?
I am still a big Howard Stern fan. I'm no longer in their fantasy league. I guess actually right. now I might be able to get back in. I had to leave the league because of Disney. You know, it was just, it sort of, you know, Michael Rappaport sort of upped the, you know, upped the rhetoric in that league, maybe is the nice way to say that. And so, you know, I'm friends still with a lot of those guys. I still text with them. A number of them texted me on the NBC move. Don't tell any of them, but a lot of them in the league still text me for advantage. So I'm like, I'm helping out like half that league. So yeah, no, still a Stern fan and still listen and still friends with all those guys. It's a great show. And, you know, he is to me the greatest broadcaster of my generation and probably ever. Right.
So it's funny, you know, you see the money that all of the NFL broadcasts have gotten. And, you know, I mentioned Joe and Troy and Romo got this massive deal and Tom Brady's getting $375. And I'm sure, you know, you jump ship, you get to make more money and keep your businesses. Yep. There's no one in the history of the earth who will ever get a better deal than Howard Stern off for the entire, the reason I bring it up is it hit me this week. This was the week I was like, I need this guy back. I need new, fresh Howard. The summer's over. I can't wait till Tuesday. Like, you know, it's time. It's time.
It's been, I know, it is. I'll tune in. I'm like, well, maybe it's a replay that I haven't heard. And so far, like all summer long, it's like, no, I'm good. And that, like,
well, and so, 101 has been tremendous. They've played a lot of good old stuff that I have not heard before. 101 has been tremendous over the summer. It's time.
So I've listened to it. It's tougher for me because I have young children. I have twin daughters that are 10 and I'm driving them around a lot. And so, you know, Howard's not appropriate for them, but I have about an hour commute to Stamford from my home in Connecticut each way. And so I'm very much looking forward to listening to Howard when I do that. Yeah. But I'm still a huge fan. And by the way, I agree with you that no broadcaster will ever get the kind of contract that Howard got. But by the way, I don't think any broadcaster is worth that. Right. I mean, Howard, SiriusXM is worth billions now. And it's because of him. Like the percentage of people that signed up for that service, literally because of him. Like, there are very few broadcasters that can move that massive an audience to not only pay for content, but pay for a new service at the time. Like, the idea of satellite radio back then was like, wait, what? Right. And I would think that, you know, Howard's old school, and so he'll never do this. But I would think, can you imagine? Like, you think about this. Joe Rogan got $100 million from Spotify, right? Alex Cooper got $60 million from Spotify. Like, I think if Big Cat and PFT were suddenly free agents, like, what would those guys get from Spotify? What do you think Spotify would pay Howard Stern? I mean, Bill got $200 million for The Ringer, right? I mean, like, so, like, you know, the people with massive audiences are getting paid massive money by Spotify. What would Howard Stern, if he was going to be a podcast only?
Well, I honestly thought he was going to leave Sirius with the last contract because I thought of Apple and Amazon and Spotify. I thought they would just break the bank. I don't know if with Howard, you never know. He's so close to the vest. I don't know if it was him showing loyalty to Sirius. I know they made like a 12-year deal where even if he goes, they have the rights to the old stuff. Sure. I don't know if, you know, maybe the other companies would have maybe wanted him. He's got a, you know, he works 3 days a week. I know he works more than that, putting the show. He's on the air for 3 days a week. I don't know if Spotify, I mean, I guess for Spotify, that would have been fine. I don't know. I think that,
I mean, you, I'm a hardcore Howard fan. I'm not a hardcore Howard fan like you are. Like, you know, I follow you on Twitter. And so I know, like, I know levels, whatever you're on, what is it?
Super fan.
Yeah. Was it Ralph Friggin? What's the Mark Friggin?
Mark Friggin.
Friggin. Like you're Mark Friggin level. I'm not that level. I'm celebrity super fan level, but not that I'm a celebrity, but I'm like at that level. In terms of knowledge. But what I would say here is that having listened to Howard for close to three decades now, he's old school. To me, that, like, I think he likes the idea of radio. Like, I just
gonna say that. It's the exact thing I was gonna say.
Right. He's like, look, I started my career wanting to be a morning DJ. I wanted to be Soupy Sales, right? You know, and I have been a DJ in some way, shape, or form or fashion my entire life. And so, right. You know, SiriusXM, so it's, you know, yes, it was pay radio, it was satellite radio versus, you know, over the air, but it was still radio. Right. Like, he still, I just don't think he could you know, he's had successful podcasts on his show, and he's just like, podcast, what could you make from that? Like, it's just like, he's an old school guy like that. And I think he would view himself as, I want to be a podcaster. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
He's like, I want to be a radio broadcaster, not a podcaster. He would never say that. He would say like,
I was going to say the exact same thing. He's old school. He loves the medium of radio. He has shit all over podcasts for years. So that, I don't know if that's a factor in it, but you know, I'm a firm, you know, I know the fans get mad at the schedule. To me, you get what you can get. And the fact that he got it, I said, God bless him. So,
I mean, I always say that too. Like, you're like, look, like if Howard said it's either I retire or I do 1 hour a week, everyone would be like, we'll take 1 hour a week. He's getting older, getting up in the morning but I feel like the home studio now, you know, the schedule in the home studio now, I feel like we've gotten bonus Howard. Right. I remember, you know, Gary's a friend of mine, Gary Delabate. And I remember talking to Gary, not in this past contract, like the contract before when it was coming up. And Gary's like, I'm like, how are you feeling? And, you know, again, Howard plays it very close to the vest. I said, what do you think? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I think there's a legit shot Howard calls it quits. And by the way, if he does another deal, like, that's going to be the last one. And then Howard's now since done this new deal, since the one that Gary thought might be the last one. And I do think the being at home has rejuvenated. He's very open about the fact that he loves being at home and he's a homebody. He doesn't like to go out and, you know, everything with COVID. I do think he would, again, my read on him, I've only met him a few times, but I certainly not for long periods of time. I wouldn't say I know him well beyond what I hear on the radio, but my feeling is that he would go crazy, that he's too creative and he's too, that he would, and he's even joked about this. He goes, I would probably retire for 6 months and then be nuts. I need to get in front of a microphone. And like, that's what he does. That's his identity.
I agree. Yeah. All right. So let give the people, now that you've moved from ESPN to NBC, give us the full rundown before I let you go here, where everyone could find your stuff. Obviously you have the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. We're going to see you on Football Night in America. Is there anything else people need? Obviously, you're on Twitter. What else do people need to know?
So two things. So, the Fantasy Football Happy Hour is available on live at noon on Peacock every day, and then on demand on Peacock, both clips and full episodes. It's also available on demand on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel and, of course, wherever you get podcasts. So that's Monday through Friday. Starting not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. So every Sunday of the NFL season, from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m., we will be doing fantasy football pregame. Myself and Michael Smith, my old friend from ESPN, so we're reunited, and we'll have other guests as well, including Jay Croucher, who's the head trainer for PointsBet. He's really great. He's the guy that sets all the lines for PointsBet. He's really good on air. He's been my co-host on the podcast, and so we will more cast members to be announced soon, but we'll have a Sunday morning show that will be available on Peacock and the NFL on NBC YouTube channel live, 11 a.m. to 1 every Sunday leading up to kickoff. Football Night in America. I'm also doing the wrap-up show, the Sunday night wrap-up show after the game with Maria Taylor on Peacock. And then all of my written work. So my rankings, my love-hate, my 100 facts, my 10 list of 10 column comes out probably by the time you're hearing this, comes out on Thursdays. So that's at NBCSportsEdge.com, RotoWorld.com gets you there as well. And all of my written work is 100% free.
They better be paying you well. That's a lot of stuff there. I'm glad you came on. I enjoyed the conversation.
NBC is really very, they're very generous. I'll leave it at that.
Best of luck. Best of luck at NBC. Congrats on the move and enjoy the NFL season. We are finally just about here.
Appreciate you having me on, Jimmy. Thanks so much.
All right. Be well. Take care. All right. Joining me now for our weekly Train of Thought segment. He was off for a week, but he's back from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York. My buddy, Sal Licata. Sal, how are you?
Good. How are you?
All right, let's not fake this. We did a whole open, and then we struggled for like 20 minutes trying to get audio set. And we talked about how Sal wasn't on last week, and people were missing him, and people went up to him, and they missed him. And we did all this in like a 2-minute segment, and then we lost it. So now we're back restarting. So we're in a good mood.
Yeah, and now I'm fucking annoyed because I hate this goddamn technology bullshit Well, yeah. I got a new computer. I usually do the thing from the phone. Now I had to set up.
You got to shake it off. Shake it off. Yeah, shake it off. Right, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Sal told the whole story about how someone at SNY said you're from Jimmy's podcast.
Yeah, and they recognize my voice, if you could believe that. I'm thinking, oh, you must listen to The Fan in the Overnight. It's like, no, SI Media Podcast with Jimmy. Oh,
okay. And you weren't on last week, which was my fault. And I said, Andy Gray, my former colleague at SI, good friend of mine, Andy Gray, very mad, texted me, saw him in person. He was complaining Sal wasn't on. So let's do this. We haven't read Apple reviews in like a month. So let's read some Apple reviews. Maybe that'll put us back in a good mood. And then we'll talk about a couple of quick topics here. Because it's really, you know, football is here, but there's still, it's, you know, this is a slow week for everything. So we'll start with the Apple reviews because there's some good ones here and we'll get into a couple of topics. All right, let's start. Okay. These are from the past month because we haven't read them. This is Kevin Butler in Berryville, Arkansas. So I've been doing this for so long and I still think it's bizarre that someone in Arkansas listens to the podcast. I love it. Okay. If you're into a host interviewing as a true sports journalist, then this is the pod for you. Great guests. And I learned a ton through relaxed conversation. I'm a football guy and Jimmy makes the non-football months tolerable. Can't wait for kickoff. Happy 400th episode. And here's to many more. What a nice guy. Can we get more
very
of that?
Nice.
Is there anywhere to get more of that? All right. Now we got here. A review. A guy didn't leave his name. Congratulations on the milestone. We recently celebrated the 400th episode. Listen to that in the archives if you missed it. Congratulations on the milestone and enjoy the show. But here we go. There was nothing to talk about this week. Oh, Vince Scully died, but let's talk about the Sopranos actor who died for the second or third straight week. I get it. Vin wasn't in New York and you don't want to bump your weekly Sopranos segment. P.S. I hate your wrestling interviews as well. Keep up the good work. Now, I find it fascinating that that ended with keep up the good work. Clearly, he didn't think I was doing good work. The reason Vin Scully wasn't talked about on the podcast is because he passed on the day that we had already taped the podcast with Alan. The Sopranos references is I had Alan Sepinwall on the podcast to talk about shows you should watch in the summer. So you can go back and listen to that in the archives. So the only reason we talk about Vin Scully is because he passed on the same day that we had taped it. So it was a timing thing. So at least he gave me 4 out of 5 stars.
Right.
Next review. Love how Jimmy works in both sports media and the overall entertainment world. He and his guests successfully blended the two really well. Keep up the great guys, Jimmy. Okay, appreciate that. Miss the former guy, Richard. Wherefore art thou, Richard? So Richard Deitch fan infiltrating the comments on Apple, and he only left 3 stars. Yeah, I would have tolerated that comment if you left. But Richard has his own podcast, so I don't know why he's asking where Richard is. It's very easy to find Richard.
What was the username on that one? R. Deitch. I love women's hoops.com. What was
he? Yeah, you're going to get me in trouble. let me see here. That one we read. This guy just, Frank Vig, watch the bear named on your review. Sorry, chef. So everyone on the bear says, have you watched the bear yet on Hulu?
No. Did you recommend it? I got to check that out.
Highly.
Okay.
Here's a 1-star review by Cutie M. Porta. I don't know what this means. This is the whole review. First, he lies about Russillo, and now he brings on one of the providers of misinformation, Bubba Prague. Trump really broke you in the trog pog. I have no idea what any of that means. So I would comment, but I just don't know what it means.
Me either.
B-Ring 08. To demonstrate how great Jimmy and this podcast is, he took all the anti-wrestling, it is scripted feedback and booked a wrestling writer on the show. I had Brian Gewirtz, former WWE head writer, a couple of weeks ago. It's in the archives.
Oh, I got to hear that.
Yep. I hate wrestling, but got to respect the next level genius move. Maybe a slight troll job on his part. This podcast is always must listen. Best part is Jimmy and Sal at the end of every episode. Just need a live show from Maureen's kitchen and Sal the scream, I'm a pro, when Jimmy questions his third order of stuffed French toast. And of course, end with thanks for the question, Jimmy. So that guy sounds like a WFAN listener. Definitely sounds like he's from Long Island because me and Sal both agree Maureen's kitchen is the best breakfast place on Long Island. A live show from Maureen.
That's my favorite review of all time right there.
Can you imagine doing a live show from Maureen's kitchen?
No, I cannot. But it would be great.
Way too loud, way too crowded.
Right outside. We know we have to sit outside and entertain the people who are waiting online to get in for an hour.
That's true. Outside by the cows.
Yeah.
It really is the best breakfast place on the island. I think you'll like this review. This comes in from WFAN Junkie. Unbelievable podcast. Brings me back to my teens and 20s. The well-done interviews, the back and forth, the rants. This is what Mike and the Mad Dog were when I was growing up. Just substitute the wrestling for tennis. Can't wait to listen every week. And to solve Sal's Christmas issue, remember, Hanukkah is 8 days long. Even the NFL can't monopolize all 8 days. So he suggested it's a good point. To Judaism.
Right.
And then Sal went on a good rant about being upset about three games on Christmas Day. That was, I think, 2 weeks ago on the pod. So people can listen to that. I love it.
It's a great point. I may need to convert.
Yep. Last one here, BKelly9. Really enjoy Jimmy's interview style and the combination of sports and non-sports content, how it's during TV discussions, etc. I do skip through the wrestling content. Sal can be a bit whiny, but overall, enjoy hearing his takes. Also, there was a strange vibe on the last time you had Deitch on the pod. He kept interrupting and trying to talk over you. Everything BKelly9 said there was true. Sal's a bit whiny. He likes your takes. Deitch tried to take over the podcast. That guy is a very astute listener, I would say. That so we appreciate the reviews. Keep them coming in. We'll read them on the pod. And there's always good feedback for Sal on the podcast.
I was legitimately surprised that people gave a crap that I did not do one episode. Could you believe somebody came up to me? Like, I get recognized occasionally, which is bizarre that still happens, but it's never from the SI podcast. And now all of a sudden that's happening.
There was someone, I don't remember if I got a tweet about it, but someone said they listened to this segment first and then go back in. And
oh, yeah. Right. That was one that I saw on the tweet.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
All right, so let's give people a little Sal, because I messed up a few weeks ago and didn't bring this story up, and I want to bring it up now because I think it could lead to a good discussion. So Sal's a huge Mets fan, always been a huge Mets fan. His all-time favorite player is Mike Piazza, and Sal bumped into Mike Piazza. And then something else happened. So you want to just very quickly talk about the bump in, and then we'll discuss what came next.
Yes. So I was leaving. We were out east in Montauk, Long Island, and I was leaving the breakfast restaurant with my wife, and I had my daughter in hand, and I'm literally walking down the aisle to leave. And to my left, not rows over, not several tables over, not in the back corner, right to my left is Mike freaking Piazza eating breakfast with his daughter. Now, my first thought was, holy crap, that's Mike Piazza. I can't believe I can't say something because he's eating breakfast with his daughter. Like, really, any other setting other than eating with your family, I would have no issue. But then I looked again and kind of made eye contact, and I'm like, this is Mike Piazza. Like, when am I ever going to see him again? I have to say something. So I stopped and awkwardly said, hey, you know, Mike, it's Sal. God, I'm a huge fan. So he was very nice. Could not be nicer.
Did you tell him you work in New York media?
Well, I introduced myself as Sal from SNY and WFAN. Not that that meant anything to him necessarily.
But it gives you a little credibility. You're not just a lunatic sports fan.
And I did get into, I work with Todd Zeal every day. And, you know, obviously he was former teammates with Zeal. So he at the end, he's like, oh yeah, I love the show. I doubt he's ever watched an episode of the show, but he was very nice. His daughter clearly got a kick out of me recognizing him. My wife was trying to be, nice to him. Very, very nice. And then we leave and my wife's like, you told him you loved him more than you've ever told me in 2 minutes. Which I was like, oh, did I? And I couldn't, I was shaking. I couldn't even believe that I met Mike Piazza. So I guess the first part of the story is, would you have an issue interrupting somebody that's eating breakfast like that with his family?
It's a tough one. I think what I would do is, and I'm not proud of this on any level whatsoever, but I would go into a full stalking situation. I would definitely not interrupt him while he's eating, but I would wait till he was done eating. I would wait till they got up to leave. Then I would leave. And as I'm walking out, I might be like, oh, by the way, a lot of it depends who it is.
Might be worse.
I would never go up to him while he's at the table. I would wait till he was done.
Even then if you were walking, and I didn't go up to him. I didn't go up to him and ask for an autograph or a picture. I literally just said, hey, Mike, Salicata, FANSNY, huge fan. I just want to tell you I love you. I'm sorry to bother you, but I had to say something. And he's like, no, it's all right. As he's shoving watermelon down his throat. But I didn't, I didn't know what to do. It was such a weird, and he's probably at this point, outside of Letterman or Kanye West, I don't know who would get me to stop. But this is Mike Piazza, my childhood hero.
I would never stop at the table. I would wait till he got up and then I would get up and act like I would pretend I'm leaving at the same time. Oh, let me get the door for you. Oh, wait, look who it is.
Yeah.
That's right. How I would do it. Now, forget that. I think the better part comes next. Now tell everyone what happened a couple of days later.
This is the best part. So now 2 days later, I'm back from vacation. I am filling in on the morning show, filling in for Boomer and Geo. And I'm telling this exact story on WFAN. And I don't remember the exact timing of it, but I check my Twitter during the show. And about an hour or so after I told the story, I get a DM from Mike Piazza saying that, hey, just happened to be listening. Thanks for the shout out. My daughter got a kick out of you mentioning that she was there. Well, nice to meet you, whatever. Let's go Mets. And he started following me on Twitter. Do you believe that?
Now that's the one I'm fascinated by, because as everyone knows who follows me on Twitter, The Rock follows me on Twitter.
Right.
And when I got that follow, the panic attack I had and the anxiety attack about do not DM. All you want to do is DM. The instinct is to send a direct message, but you can't, especially right away. You have to wait a little bit, because if you send it right away, they're going to unfollow you and think you're a stalker.
Right.
When have you DM'd Mike Piazza?
Yes. No, I DM'd him back saying thanks or whatever. And then,
that's fine. Right.
Well, I DM'd him back for a week. And then there was only one thing, because you're right. And I don't want to bother him. And I have no interest in getting into, I could DM him. Oh, you want to come on my show? I don't even care about that. I had the moment. That's fine. I DM'd him one thing that I created a production piece years ago for his final game with all highlights to the music that he used to walk up to, which I think was a cool piece. And I just said, hey, just wanted you to check this out and send the link or whatever to it. And that's
rough. That's rough.
What do you mean that's rough? It's something that I think that he would appreciate.
But did he respond to that direct message?
No, he did not respond.
That's why you were asking to get ghosted with that one.
No, he didn't unfollow me or anything. It wasn't, he could have written back if he actually listened to it, but whatever.
All he had to write back was, thanks, very nice of you, I'll check this out. You got nothing back.
I don't care to talk to him anymore after that, but I did want to send him that because I do think it's a great piece that he would appreciate.
But he didn't write back.
He might not have listened to it.
See, this is the problem. By getting the follow, now you send him a DM, he doesn't write back. Maybe your hero gets knocked down a couple of pegs in your butt.
No, because I totally get it. Like I said, going into that, if you're DMing somebody that he doesn't want the DMs, going in that there's a chance he doesn't respond. So I took that chance. I thought that this was a good risk, but either way, the fact that he followed and sent the DM, that will never be.
See, your situation's a little different because he DM'd you first. So you were able then to write back, which, see, The Rock followed me and there was no DM.
But I waited.
I waited a year before I ever sent him a DM. I waited
a year.
Yeah, good discipline.
He probably forgot that he even followed you by that point.
First of all, I'm sure he has me muted. There's no way he doesn't have me muted. I'm tweeting out the link to the podcast 50 times a week. He's probably like, what is this shit? And I'm sure I'm muted.
Right.
But I will say, I think I've DM'd him maybe 3 times and he has always written back.
Wow.
So The Rock is a much better person than Mike Piazza. That's the lesson.
That's a big deal. No, give Mikey a chance. You never had The Rock on your show though yet, right?
No, he's never done a podcast.
Oh, okay.
He's not.
Did you ask? Did you flat out ask?
I'm trying to think. Have I ever asked? I'm not going to ask that. I'm not going to ask that. It's got to be, I'll go through his production team. I'm not going to ask him directly. Okay. I'm not going to ask him. Because then he says no, and then I'm going to be like, oh my God, this is crushing. all right. Before I let you go, one thing. We will have another show before the NFL season starts. So next week, we'll talk about some over-unders and some NFL stuff. But just quickly, before we wrap, I finally started to look at the over-unders. I put this on Twitter the other day. The Bills are 11.5. I think they're like the best team in football, basically, this year. 11.5 with 17 games. I think that, but the juice is -135. How do the Bills not win 12 games? You're telling me the Bills can't go 12-5 this year? Let me just say this. When I tweeted it, I had all these people tell me about their schedule, 2 against the Patriots, 2 against the Dolphins. They're a billion times better than the Patriots and Dolphins. They play the Chiefs, they play the Rams, they play the Bengals, and there was one other hard team, the Packers. Those were the 4 tough games. But they can lose 5 games and you win the bet.
Right. I think these bets in general, though, like you said, it's -135, which is not awful, honestly. Right. But to get to that number, I mean, if you have any, like, obviously, if Josh Allen goes down, you're screwed. Anything that go, like, even if he goes down for 5 weeks, you're going to be screwed in that case. Right. Because, like, they need almost, it's a lot to get to 12 wins. I know it sounds easy now, but that's a lot. If I had to bet my life on it, I would probably bet the over right now, sure.
I think I've said this so many times, I'll say it again. You know, we are old school. I mean, old school Knicks fans from the Riley days. Mm-hmm. And Pat Riley, when he coached the Knicks, always talked about this thing called the innocent climb, meaning you need to get there and fail, and then you get there again and you succeed. And I think the Bills are on the innocent climb. And I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I think 12 wins should be easy for them. If Josh Allen gets hurt, obviously that goes without saying. But, everyone's talking about the AFC West. I think those teams are going to beat each other up. I don't love the Broncos with Russell Wilson. I know other people do. Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill. I think they're going to be very good still. But to me, and I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan, but I think the Bills are the class of the AFC this year. So
One team that I love that I think could surprise some people is the Colts.
Because
they can run. I don't know what the total is, but I would bet them to win the AFC just as a an underdog, get a good value.
Run
the football.
Good. Win the AFC, like go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you look at the AFC. Now, again, obviously the Bills are going to be the favorites, and I get why, but the AFC West could beat each other up. Chiefs maybe step back a little bit. Other teams come up a little bit. I don't think the Raiders are that great. Like other people are talking about the AFC East with the Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, maybe they beat each other up a little bit. Maybe the Jets are more competitive. Who knows? But to me, I look at the South. I think the Titans come down, and I think the Colts now with an actual real quarterback and a great offensive line and a very good run game and an easy division with the Texans and Jags, I think they could be a dangerous team in the AFC.
If you said to me, I like the Colts to win the AFC South, I would say, okay, that's good. But you think they're going to the Super Bowl.
No, I would bet them for the price. I'm not going to pick
value.
The favorites.
You're looking for value, right?
Correct. Right. I never pick the favorites, right? Because usually things happen. So I get why you'd be on the Bills, and I get why the majority of people are. I look for value, and I think the value team there is the Colts with Matt Ryan now. Think of the quarterbacks they've had.
I just think there's too many teams better than them in the AFC. So, all right, Sal, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. The end of the summer is here. I'm thrilled. I know I'm in the minority. I've had it with the heat. I've had it with the humidity. I've had it with the summer. I'm over it. I hate it. The summer is over. Labor Day weekend. Football is here. This is a significant weekend on the calendar. Next week, full-fledged football. Can't wait.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm upset that the summer is over, but I will look forward to football season for sure.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you later.
Thanks, Al. All right, my thanks to Matthew Berry and Sal Akata for joining me on this week's episode. If you missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, dip into the archives, check them out. If you need something to listen to here as we have Labor Day weekend, maybe you have some time to check us out. Roman Reigns from the WWE, Andy Staples from The Athletic on college football were my guests last week. 2 weeks ago, we got into the Manti Te'o doc and Deadspin breaking that story in 2013 with Tim Burke, a.k.a. Bubba Prague on Twitter. 3 weeks ago, Linda Cohen, longtime SportsCenter anchor, and Brian Goritz, former head writer for the WWE, were on the podcast. So check those out. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Football is almost here. We will see you next week, I think, with a pretty big time NFL guest. I don't want to say anything because I hate teasing things in case they fall through, but I think you'll enjoy next week's guest. And that's it. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Stay safe and take care.